The fragile temporal curtain between us had grown more thin and opaque, and I could reach her with but a single step.
I know what you feel, Doc.
Do you, Dr. Wyeth? Perhaps you and I are the only ones left in all Deathlands who share the knowledge and the feeling that we live while everyone we ever knew was 100 years in the cold, cold ground. Nearer 200 years in my own sorry case.
He levered himself upright.
I think I shall go and rest a while. Jack, if you should choose to come in gambling and somersetting during the afternoon, pray attempt some restraint, dear child. Let an old man have his requiem.
Sure. Gonna wreck, Doc. I won't wake you.
Want some Jack for the machines? Or to play a little cards?
Not cards. Seen too many shops look like got aces up their sleeves. I tried the machines. They cheat you honest, at least.
Ryan felt in his pockets and handed over a fistful of small Jack.
Spend it unwisely.
Will do.
Oh, that lunch was so rich. I think I'll head back to the cabin and get some rest as well.
Well, Jack. Looks like you're on your own.
Ryan kicked off his combat boots and slumped on the soft bed. He tucked his Sig Sauer under the pillow. Christy had opened the window, letting in the afternoon warmth, breathing in the fresh air. She had stripped to a pair of pale blue silk panties and a plain white t-shirt. Following Ryan's lead, she put her own gun, the short-barreled double-action Smith & Wesson 640, beneath her own pillow. They both lay side by side, in that deliciously comfortable world between waking and sleeping.
Sounds like a giant in a kid's fairy story.
Real big man. I don't think I can recall meeting a baron who weighed in over the 300-pound mark. From the guards, it's got to be someone with serious power in Jack. Be curious to see who it is. Might ask around the crew.
It doesn't matter. As long as he hasn't captured the lost twins and is holding them in a cage of gingerbread and spun honey, waiting to crunch their bones to make his bread, or boil their hearts to give himself everlasting life. Anyway, might just be a lonely, fat old lady promenading up and down with a sour expression on her rosebud lips.
Go to sleep, love.
Jack waited to try his luck on 3 or 4 of the beautifully restored slot machines that lined several of the main gambling rooms. Most of them dated from the mystic days before the long winters and before the brief new cost of Skydark, and had been adapted from the ancient quarter and dime slots. The Golden Eagle was fitted with the finest electricity generating system, based on both the wood boiler and the use of the stern wheel itself as a power source. And for decorative and aesthetic purposes, there were hundreds of polished oil lamps in the main corridors and public areas, casting a more gentle golden glow over the hectic proceedings. The slot machines were electric-powered. Some of them were of a model that Jack had occasionally seen before, back in his childhood among the dirt-poor settlements of the bayous. They had a metal head of a Native American on the front, polished by constant contact of tens of thousands of eager gamblers, who would hold it or rub at it while pulling the chrome handle with a black plastic knob at its end, setting the tumblers turning and the display of fruits changing in the 3 rectangular glass windows. Jack wandered slowly along, gazing at them, deciding that the odds weren't worth the playing. They looked so boring, with no excitement to them. The teenager noticed that it was mainly older women playing the slots. Some looked as if that was all they did, ignoring their beautiful surroundings, never glancing sideways to admire the scenic view out the floor-to-ceiling windows. Each wore a glove on her right pulling hand to protect it from blisters, slipping in the jack, tugging, barely waiting for the result before setting the operation spinning again.
Seems like hell to me.
The frail little lady in a respectable dress of dark green wool at the nearest machine had to have had sharp hearing.
Hell, young man? This is not hell. Hell is a closed room. Hell is other people. Hell is to play and not to win. Hell is stinking, muty bastards with freak's no hair trying to distract decent folks from their fun! Bah!
A threat of spittle struck him full in the face. Jack had a razor-edged temper, and he actually had his fingers on the hilt of one of his knives before his common sense broke through. He wiped off her saliva and managed a smile.
You have lots of luck, lady.
He walked away, ignoring the curious looks that his appearance brought from some of the promenaders and gamblers. In the next room, which was busy with six tables crowded with men and a few women attempting to beat the house odds at blackjack, Jack found some slightly more modern machines, mostly looking as if they dated from only just before Skydark. These were like something from Mission Control Houston, with dazzling lights and colors and a constantly changing computer-activated display screen. There were switches and buttons that allegedly controlled the destiny of the winning combinations, though Jack privately doubted if they had the least effect on the ultimate results. He looked around the room, taking in the mirrors that were scattered all across the domed ceiling, which was covered in a cunningly painted classical-style mural, showing an array of overweight and underdressed gods and goddesses, carousing, making merry, and making explicit love. The interior of the Golden Eagle was like a luxurious maze, and it was all too easy to lose track of exactly where on the vessel you were. Jack's guests put him on the same deck as their cabin, or a half-deck below it, directly beneath the most expensive and exclusive staterooms. Some of the mirrors in the ceiling were two-way glass. Behind one of them, two faces were pressed together, watching Jack. One was a fat, multi-jowled face, the other as thin as a cutlass blade. Both faces smiled, but the smiles never got within a country mile of the stone-cold eyes. Violence was always close to the surface on board the Golden Eagle as she plowed her way at high speed north along the dark brown Sibiu River. It was late afternoon, and Brian was getting ready for their dinner invitation at the table of Captain Melville Houston.
The nerve!
Trouble?
Yeah, outside the balcony.
They went out together, peering down over the wrought iron railings onto the deck below, where two men were engaged in a furious argument. One was short, skinny, and dapper, with a waxed mustache. They noticed immediately that he had the scarlet imprint of fingers livid on his pale cheek. The other, who had done the slapping, was taller and older, with a fringe of thin hair. He wore an elegant suit with a beautiful embroidered vest and highly polished knee-length boots. A small crowd of passengers held them apart.
Nobody says that of me! Upon my honor, they do not!
Honor? A word that soils your lips, you shit-eating piece of scum!
The little man was overtopped and outweighed, but he refused to back off. He pointed an angry finger at his opponent.
I demand satisfaction from you!
A little bantam like you. What are your weapons? A stun grin and a pair of stilts?
You have refused to fight me?
A uniformed officer appeared, pushing through the crowd.
All right. I heard a demand for a duel.
This pig fucker said that he demands satisfaction.
He spoke of what?
It is totally no matter, gentlemen. Affairs of honor are carried out in the half hour before the evening meal commences. This is normally at half after six on the foredeck. An officer of the Golden Eagle acts as witness, so there will be no problems with the law in the event of a killing. What are the weapons to be?
Christie nudged Ryan.
Got it real well organized, don't they, lover?
Must happen most days on a place like this. Combination of cards and women and drink.
I am the injured party. I choose sword.
All one to me. I shall be that.
And the man spun on his heel and walked quickly away. The officer saluted the tall duelist and also stalked away, back along the deck in the direction of the bridge.
Probably going to report the incident to the captain.
Ryan suddenly became aware of a familiar feeling, the cold prickling at his nape, and he looked around, seeing Christie also look behind her.
What?
A shadow of the sun, like someone walking over my grave. I got the sensation of being watched.
Simultaneously, they both looked above and behind them. But the blank wall of the guarded stateroom shielded them from any unseen observer.
Going to watch the fight?
Likely. JB and Doc will probably want to check it out. And young Jack.
There was a public address system installed throughout the Golden Eagle, but it often seemed to be crackling and generally unreliable. At about 20 minutes past six, a message was carried around the boat by a half dozen of the sailors, reminding all of the passengers that an affair of honor was about to be resolved on the foredeck. Ryan and the others had gotten there early, securing a good viewpoint from one of the higher decks, not far from the Calliope, which had been playing a bright melody of old folk tunes throughout the afternoon, but had now fallen silent. Mildred had been the least enthusiastic, but had reluctantly agreed to join the others.
Maybe they'll ask if there's a doctor on board and I can volunteer. I always wanted to do that for real.
Looks as if the whole boat came out to see the duel.
Just not the little old ladies from the slots.
The small man,